Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox here to my left, your right. We are here in our brand new studio. Very nice digs that we've been waiting on. And we promised you back in week one, we had some, you know, construction issues. We had to be up to code and get the proper permits and all that kind of construction stuff. Make sure we're in line with OSHA.
Yes.
Which is very important.
Absolutely.
And but we are here. Here we are, week five. We have a brand new home.
Mm-hmm. And unlike other things in the nation, we are not shut down.
We are not shut down. We are full steam ahead here in the new AtlantaFalcons.com studio. It's beautiful. We'll show you some other sides of it, because this is really a 360 experience in here. You can't see it now, but through other features on AtlantaFalcons.com, you will get to see this whole setup, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah, you have a great shot that it's off camera of cheerleaders, and I have Robert McClain and friends.
You get Robert McClain. I get the cheerleaders over here.
It's
kind of nice.
I bet.
It comes with seniority, my friend.
Yes.
All right, so let's get on to our topics this week. We are going to get into a little bit of review on week four. Definitely look ahead to week five here with the New York Jets coming to town for Monday Night Football. And we'll do some buy or sell.
Yes, always
some,
popular.
Some which is better, which are better.
What is better, which is better?
Which is better, which is better. Which are better or which is better?
I think it's which is better.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a little stat of the week.
Nice.
And some most valuable Falcon. We got a.
It's a packed show.
Full show here.
It's the people's show right here.
All right. The people's show. All right. So let's get going here. Review of week four. Well,
people want to know what happened in week four.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Falcons dropped to 1-3. Obviously, the loss to the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football, certainly a tough game.
Yep.
I think you can be encouraged, though, that when the team is down 30-13, they can storm back, and they did. And there were a lot of things that went the Falcons' way during that time period, and I know a lot of people are asking, well, why couldn't you do that during the rest of the game? And it's just tough. It's football. It's one of those things, you know.
It's there's not a good answer, and the answer is there's multiple answers, and the answers are all over the place. You know, it's. And Coach Smith said it last on this past Monday that, you know, speaking to Red Zone, but I think it's just across the board. There were so many breakdowns and so many different things. Like, if four things were going right, the fifth thing it was the thing that went wrong and kind of threw everything off track. So it's and despite all that, like you said, you know, they managed to come back and at least stay in the ball game, and that's really what they've done all season.
Yeah, and I think that's the important point here is that you – are in a situation here where you've lost three games and you've really seen the other side of the coin. You know, you go through 2012, you go through 2011 to some extent, and you go through 2010 where you are winning these games in the last minutes of the game. And I think now you're seeing the other side of that. You're seeing how the little mistakes can cause you to not win those games. And so I think you're just kind of – seeing how the other side lives at this point. And it's certainly discouraging that you can't turn those games into wins, because I know that you're like me when Matt Ryan has the ball in the last minute or so of the game, like, you feel pretty confident that he's going to get it done, and things just haven't gone his way. But I still think it's encouraging that you're in the ball game all the way to the end.
Absolutely.
Even when you get down 30-13, at one point in the fourth quarter of a game, you're still able to make it interesting and to come back and to be just one score away from tying it up.
So. And ultimately, that's really all they're trying to do each week, is just give themselves a chance to win, and that ability to come back and give themselves a chance despite what they did to not give themselves a chance, you know, to get in that hole 30-13. Those are encouraging things. And again, like you said, you still want wins, still need touchdowns, but – It seems like it could be much worse, and you know, there are other 1-3 teams that have been blown out, and we haven't seen that. So
right, and we'll get into some 1-3 information here.
Oh, okay.
When
okay.
we get into our stat o the week.
O the week.
O the week. Yes. But first, let's pick like three things that the Falcons need to focus on or need to be concerned with when it comes to facing the Jets this week. The Jets are currently 2-2. I think they're a little better than people thought they would be.
Well, and that's they're another team that's they've gotten by with some things. Mm-hmm. You know, their two wins are at home, and they're 0-2 on the road. So that's encouraging. I think the Falcons always feel good about, despite last Sunday, they always feel good about what's going on in when a team comes down to the Georgia Dome. So that's the first thing I look at is how is their split? How are they looking? But yeah, they've played better than some people anticipated, especially on defense. I think the defense is a little bit surprising to some folks.
Did you know?
Did I know?
That the Georgia Dome was opened in the regular season in 1992 against the New York Jets.
I did not know that.
And the Falcons won that game.
Okay.
And the Jets, I think, have only been here three other times since
then. Oh, wow.
Since 1992. Going off script here.
Yeah.
Just throwing this at you.
Sometimes when I hear those stats, it's interesting. It's cool to know, but I don't think it matters.
I didn't impress you with that?
You impressed me that you went off script and you knew that. It's not on your paper there. I know that.
Well, I read a story this morning that we've got on AtlantaFalcons.com from our friend Frank Clea,
who
spoke a little bit about that matchup.
That man knows. If there's a man that knows everything about the history of the Falcons. And his office.
Frank is your guy. Yes.
Is evidence.
There's stuff in Frank's office from 1992 that he hasn't seen since 1992.
Absolutely. You know that show, American Pickers?
Mm-hmm. Where they could do an entire hour show in his office.
We should do that. The relics we could. We
really should. Let's mark that down.
Yes. You got that, Rob.
All right. Three things that we need to focus on here. I think one has to be the Jets turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Jets are currently minus 10 in turnover differential. They have 11 total turnovers, 3 fumbles lost. Geno Smith, the rookie quarterback, has more twice as many interceptions as he does touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think the opportunity seems to be there for the Falcons to cause some of those turnovers, but the other side of that is you got to turn that into points.
Absolutely. And you're going up against the number 2 pass defense in the NFL with the New York Jets. And you know, Darrelle Revis is gone, but Antonio Cromartie and some of those other guys, those linebackers, they've all kind of come together, and they're a bunch of guys. You know, there's some names you never heard of out there, but and they have Milliner, who Julio Jones knows well.
Yeah,
rookie cornerback. I think they were on the
same Alabama team.
Yeah,
that won a national title in 2010. So.
One other thing I think about Geno Smith, offensive line, they've been sacked 14 times.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to you?
Says you can get after him.
Possibly, yeah. And that's coming after a week last week where the Falcons recorded 0 sacks and only had like 2 QB hits. The pressure wasn't there versus the week before, you know, with the Rams, 5 sacks and a whole bunch
Dolphins,
of hits.
Dolphins.
Oh, my mistake. Yes. I'm sorry.
Dolphins.
Yes. The weeks, you know, once it's the past, I can't go back.
It's tough.
Right. But they had those 5 sacks. They got that pressure and then Coach Smith mentioned it on Monday. He was disappointed with the lack of pressure against the Patriots last week. So, you know, that stat, that's a nice detail. And maybe this is when Massaquah and some of those guys can start to crank it up a little bit.
Yeah. So that would be our number 2 thing
okay.
to watch out for, right?
Sure.
No. What are we at?
I don't know. I think
we've
kind of pieced it together.
We'll give you more than 3. We'll give you more than 3. All right, my other thing that I think you got to watch for is, you know, I mentioned it last week with the New England Patriots run game.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be true. One of those things that you had to watch out for was the run game, and I think it's definitely the case this week as well. Jets rushing at 123 yards a game right now. Bilal Powell, 4.4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
And Falcons were number 5 against the run going into the last week's game. Now they're 21st against the run after the Patriots game. So that's quite a fall there.
Yeah.
And certainly these guys, we talked to some of the defensive linemen earlier this week, and certainly not happy with that stat. So, you know, they're going to be looking to tighten things up.
And one other thing on the offense with Geno Smith, we hear like the – you know, twice as many interceptions as touchdowns and all this stuff. But then you look at their time of possession, it's well over, it's like 32 minutes long, number six in the league. That means they managed to hold, you know, keep the ball and put drives together. And I think we saw last week the Falcons sometimes on defense were, you know, missing those third down stops. That's going to be really important as well.
Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. So there's a couple of things that stand out to us for this.
Nice job, Jay.
So very good.
Good
stuff.
Work.
Very good stuff. Oh, good well, work. Thank you. Good thank work. You. Thank you. All right. Let's get on to our stat of the week.
Stat of the
stat
week.
Stat of the week. This is brand new. We added this. Yes. This
about
morning,
10 minutes
about
ago.
About 10 minutes ago. We added this, so you dug this up. So yeah. I'm gonna let you kind of take the lead on this one, but it's very interesting to note, kind of some history of some 1-3 teams.
Yeah, well, you know, here on the Falcon Cast podcast, we like to try to remind fans of reasons to stay upbeat, reasons to continue to believe in their team. You know, all is not lost, and I think the Falcons have a history of winning. Now, I think that's fair to say. So we just try to point some of those things out that kind of keep fans with their keep their chin up.
Yes.
Keep your chin up. Maybe that's
always keep your chin up.
Keep your chin up. So since 1990, 23 teams.
23.
That have gotten off to a 1-3 start have made the playoffs. Last time that happened was in 2011. Who do you think that was?
I think that was the Denver Broncos. The right, Tim Tebow-led.
The Tim Tebow era.
Yes. And a great stat that our intern behind the camera told us is that the Broncos went 1-4.
Oh yeah, that's right, 1-4.
1-4 and still ended up making the playoffs that year.
So
there, all hope is not lost. Yeah. And I think it's way too early to still panic.
Right.
You know, when you come on the podcast and you see both of our, well, your hair lit on fire and mine kind of just smoldering.
Yeah, there you
then,
go.
Then you panic. But I'm not there yet.
That's probably not going to happen.
Your hair lit on fire?
Lit on fire.
Yeah,
that's
probably not. But
that's not a good B-roll option.
No, it is not. So let's see. Since the current playoff system, 12 teams instituted in 19, or since the playoff system was instituted in 1990, 23 teams have rebounded from a losing record after 4 weeks to qualify for the postseason. So that's pretty big. Four of those clubs advanced to the conference championship,
right,
including the 2001 New England Patriots en route to their Super Bowl, let's see, 36?
Oh, dude, Roman numerals?
Roman numerals, not my strength. victory. So there's still a lot of hope. And
yeah, absolutely.
You know, the Falcons were actually one of these teams in 2002.
Yeah.
Started 1-3 and went to the divisional playoffs. So.
That's a good stat, Jay.
You found it, so I'm giving you all the credit on that one.
Cool. I noticed that it's you have a email file dedicated solely to me.
I do. I do.
Thanks, man.
For all the information that that I get from you goes into one area. So we don't lose it.
Right.
All right. So how do you feel about buy or sell?
I feel good about it right
do
now.
Do you buy? Do you buy by
yourself? I'm buying by yourself. Okay. I feel confident about it this morning.
Let's get into it. Remember, we buy if we like it. We sell if we do not like it. And so we're going to get started. Here is our first topic. NFC South Championship is currently out of the question after the Falcons get off to the 1-3 start. What do you think? Buy or sell?
I don't like this, but I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, obviously it's not completely out of the question. You know, anything's always possible, but if I'm looking at it realistically, the probability, and I'm a big probables guy, like the percentages, I play those percentages. I just feel like the Saints getting off to that 4-0 start, it's early, I know that, so it sounds like a ludicrous statement to say that they've got it wrapped up, but and plus they have that tiebreaker against the Falcons because, you know, the whole what happened in week one. I just feel like it's going to be tough for the Falcons to kind of come back from that, especially the way we're seeing the Saints play right now. But the playoffs are certainly still in the question, I believe.
Sure. I'm going to sell it. I don't think it's out of the question because I don't think anything is done until it's mathematically out of the question.
Right.
And at this point, it is not, from what I understand, of math.
Yes.
Which isn't a whole lot. Not to, you know, kind of put your confidence in me when it comes to math, but I don't think it's out of the question. The Falcons have faced one division opponent, obviously, that they lost that game. The Saints get the tiebreaker
right
as of right now. But I think the way this division is set up, it's a little unpredictable. You know, I think going into the season, you kind of had a feeling that, you know, Tampa would be a team that maybe you would have to contend with. Kind of thought that Carolina would be a little better. Mm-hmm. Of course, that team has a good defense, good right. solid defense, and Cam Newton now always unpredictable.
Right.
So I feel like, and plus, remember, division games are always harder for some reason. It does not matter if you're 10-0 facing an 0-10 team. Division games, for some reason, are always closer. And I really feel like there's some help down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yes, the Saints have gotten off to that great start. But I feel like you can make up some ground. You're playing Tampa Bay here in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of start getting into the meat of your schedule, and a couple of division opponents are a part of that. So I feel like you can make up some ground, and all is not lost. I agree with you that it's the probability at this point,
mm-hmm.
it's shaky. But I hate to say that anything is over
right.
after just 4 weeks of play, because right. a lot can happen, as we just noted in our stat of the day.
Yes.
There's a lot that can turn around. So,
it's happened 23 times.
23 times. So, you know, I'm not abandoning hope on the division championship. I think, you know, what's funny is, like, no team has ever repeated
right.
as division
right.
champs
right.
in the NFC South. So it's still one of those things where, like, you win it 1 year and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen the next
yeah.
year.
That's the beauty of it, though.
Yeah, yeah, no, it really is. So, I'm going to hold out hope still that
okay.
there's still that possibility.
I mean, I'm hoping.
I know you're hoping. I'm not saying that
yeah.
you're not hoping.
Right.
I think
want home playoff games.
Yes, of course, we all do. But I don't feel like it's out of the question at this point.
Right.
All right, so let's get on to our next topic, which we've alluded to a little bit. The mm-hmm. next 4-game stretch is the turning point for the season. Here we go. The Falcons have the Jets Monday night, bye week.
That's two.
Two?
That's 2 weeks.
Two okay. weeks. Tampa at home, at Arizona, at Carolina.
Hmm.
Pretty crucial 4-game stretch there. I'm going to go first here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say I'm going to buy it as the turning point for the season. Sorry, Matt, I hit you there.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it as the turning point for the season, because I really think when you talk about what is truly a turning point, I think – the season hinges on these next 4 games. You're playing a 2-2 Jets team. You've got that bye, and I think that bye is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in April when the schedule was released, we were kind of looking at it like, it kind of makes us nervous that
yeah.
that the bye week is so early this year. Traditionally, it's been week 7, week 8. Now you're getting in week 6, and that week makes a bit of a difference. But I think – for as injured and as banged up as
yeah.
this team is right now, you need the rest.
Yeah, it comes at a good time.
It really does. So, and then you're playing, hosting Tampa at home. Bucks currently off to that 0-4 start, and we all have seen the documented escapades of that team
yeah.
Going on right now. So, you know, it's a question as to whether they'll have things turned around by the time they come to the Georgia Dome. And you go to Arizona. Arizona currently 2-2. And then Carolina's coming off the bye right now, and they're sitting at 1-2. I think you can win all 4 of those games,
right.
and you can get up to 5-3. And if you're sitting 5-3 after those games, I think it's hugely important because after Carolina, you host the Seahawks, and then the schedule gets really hairy with
yeah.
The Saints. Again, the Bills game, I think, is a totally different game than you thought it was
mm-hmm.
when the matchup was first announced. Packers, Redskins, Niners to end the season. So is this a turning point? Absolutely. It has to be.
Yeah. No, I buy that statement all day as well. You know, and we talk about giving yourself a chance, right? excuse me. Got off to the 1-3 start. That's not what they wanted, obviously. But,
right.
You know, like you said, coming out of that stretch at 5-3 I wouldn't say you're not going to be in the driver's seat necessarily, but you one never knows, honestly. But
yeah.
But that puts you in a good place. It gives you a chance to compete, for a playoff spot heading into the final 2 quarters of the season, and that's really all you want, especially after a 1-3 start. You kind of just want to be in the mix basically at the end there, or after this stretch, because you have to make up some ground now. It's right now.
You're right, and you've got to be able to gain some momentum going into that Seahawks game.
Yeah,
that's looking like an extremely tough opponent, which we knew it would be. But mm-hmm. then you know you're playing the Saints after that, you're playing the Bills after that, you're playing the Packers after that. Tough games, coming up down that stretch after this four games. So you have no choice but to try and gain that momentum and chip away at that deficit.
Yeah. The it's time huge. Is now. It's got to. It's got to be now.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a turning point. So
yep. Yeah. So we both buy that one.
Yep.
All right. Last one here. Red zone troubles are an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a problem and a
in
mystery,
a puzzle,
and a puzzle
yeah,
and
a mystery.
And a thin phyllo dough, all bundled up,
Wrapped up.
Yeah,
I buy that. Of course, okay. Of course, I buy. I
mean, I'm waiting on it.
Yeah, it's a. I don't have an answer for it. I mean, and I think fans. I wouldn't say they're frustrated. I feel like they just there's not really an answer to this.
Yeah.
It's like we kind of alluded to it earlier. There's so many different things that are happening inside the red zone, you know, for the offense to respond to, and then things that aren't going the way they anticipated it to, and they don't have an answer for that right now. And but it is it's confusing. It's atypical of this team.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the bigger aspect of the frustration for it is something that the fans. And this team, for that matter, haven't really seen too much of.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised by your answer because I've always viewed you as the Aristotle of red zone offense. So
okay.
Just the fact
I mean,
that you're stumped
on
I can
propose some solutions.
Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to buy that as well. It's just one of those things in football where there is no one answer. And there are a lot of different things that go into that. You know, a year ago, the Falcons were 57% in their red zone chances. This year, just scoring at 39%. And the team is currently second in the entire league in red zone opportunities. So when you think about that, they have 4.5 opportunities per game inside the red zone, second only to the Packers. It's amazing to think that you haven't turned those into points and you haven't been able to – it tells you that the offense is doing everything it needs to do until it gets inside that 20-yard line, which is certainly frustrating. And the players are frustrated. The coaches are frustrated, and they're trying to figure this thing out. And if there's one thing that if you were going to force me to say, or what's the one thing that you would say is the biggest issue right now, I would guess probably the health of Roddy White and just him not being at 100%, hasn't been at 100% all year. But it changes the way defenses can play you. When Roddy is not 100%, you can single cover him. And you've seen it with the way Matt has distributed his passes this year. You know, his top target has been Julio so far.
Right.
And then Tony Gonzalez. And you would expect Roddy White to be in that top three, but he's not. Harry Douglas is the number three target for Matt Ryan right now. And then Roddy at number four. So that shows you that they are staying away from him on offense and going to him only in those emergency situations when he can make the catch and maybe not make too many moves on that ankle. So I really feel like that changes the way teams approach you in the red zone because you don't see – you know, the Falcons go to Roddy, and they went to him on that very last play of the game. But you're able to kind of play it a little differently. We saw on that last play, Tony Gonzalez was triple teamed.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get off the line.
Right.
So, with a healthy Roddy White, you would never see that happen.
Yeah. And you still think, well, Tony was tripled. Why would, you know? But I just always think about, you know, Matt said it a number of times. He's been asked about it over the years. The shrinkage in space that you have to work with is really a big issue there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter of kind of going back to the drawing board a little bit. And you know, if Roddy's going to be, you know, banged up for a little while, and we don't really know. It seems like he's improving week to week, but we would not know that. you know, it seems like it's something that they're going to get fixed. Work it out. But it's something that certainly didn't anticipate.
Yeah, and this is what I said last week is, you know, the offense is doing everything that they need to do,
right,
other than scoring, and scoring is a byproduct of doing those things right. And so, you know, you're still a top 10 offense. Like I said, you're number two in the league in red zone opportunities.
Yeah.
Something's got to change, yeah. You know, and I feel like it's going to happen. Stuff is going to come together on this offense. But, you know, it's a good sign that you're doing things right and you're giving yourself those opportunities.
Absolutely.
So we still don't have an answer.
There's no answer.
There is no
not
answer.
Yet.
It's one of those.
Hopefully the answer is the New York Jets.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I like it. All right, so you want to play Which is Better?
Which is Better.
We've got a couple of topics here, and we will choose which is better.
All right.
All right, so we're going to go with the better play from week four. All right, so we're going to start out the 49-yard pass to Julio Jones. This was on a final drive, and Atlanta was at the 38, threw it 49 yards down to the New England 13 to set up what we had hoped would have been the tying touchdown there. Did not happen. Julio was covered by Devin McCourty there. Just got up there, made the catch, came down with it. Just a beautiful play. And then we're going up against Tony Gonzalez's 21-yard touchdown catch. It happened in the second quarter, the final drive of the quarter. And it tied up the game. It was like a little curl route, defended off the line by second-year linebacker Hightower. And then he caught it around the 10, broke a tackle, ran up the sideline. They tried to push him out.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, he kind of tiptoed in a little
bit. Tiptoed right in there.
Cornered it in.
Got in there, twinkle toes.
Yep.
And got in for the game-tying touchdown at the time. So.
So, which is better?
Which
is better?
Is better.
Which is better?
To me, I think Gonzalez's play is better. Mm-hmm. Just because I think I'm going to go, like last week, I kind of admired Jason Snelling's, the execution of the offense. I think it was, that was a perfect play. Mm-hmm. The way it was drawn up, I think this was also a perfect play as well. But a lot of it was, you know, made after the play was drawn up.
Right,
you know,
right.
Tony made so much of that happen with the spin. He could have easily just gone out of bounds, taken the yards, mm-hmm. you know.
And he broke a tackle there when he called it as well.
Right, exactly. So, you know, he does that little spin move, which I do not think the defender was ready for.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see what he's able to do at his age, I think is just – I admire it because it's – I actually tweeted earlier in the game when he made a catch in double coverage that there are a couple of times each season where Tony Gonzalez has me just shaking my head in amazement, and that was another one of those times.
Absolutely.
And so for me, it was that play. It was just a beautiful play the way it was drawn up, but also what Tony made happen after the catch. So
that's he had an amazing game. He – had a career day
career
as
game,
well.
Yeah.
That was really nice. I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 49-yard pass to Julio and the catch. Great job by Matt, number two here. This guy threw it to this
guy. Threw it to that guy.
Yeah. And this guy, Julio, made a really clutch catch. And it was that was as clutch as it gets, you know, for that moment. You know, they couldn't make it turn into points, obviously, but they needed that big chunk to start that drive to get, you know, to cover the field, just get it out of the way. They didn't have a lot of time. And Julio just went up and got it. And I thought it was a great play. It was a great moment. It was a clutch moment, both from Matt to Julio as well, to get that pass. And I think I love what you may – I don't think Julio doesn't need, like, confidence boosters or anything that like that. But, you know, those big-time guys still need to have those big-time moments – or at least the opportunity to have a big-time moment and come through for their team. And that's just another one of those building blocks for Julio. And I was glad he was the man to go to on that play. But I love, and I'll never forget it, you know, watching these passes, and I think it was against Carolina last season, up in the press box, we saw that it was the same kind of thing. Matt launches this ball, and it's like one shining moment is playing, and it's like it drifts through the air, like, time is completely slowed down, and we're just like watching it. It's like from Friday Night Lights or something. And I felt like that on that pass, and it's funny, but unfortunately, it didn't amount to more. But I thought it was an incredible play.
So on these passes, visions of Christian Laettner are dancing through your head.
You don't want anything. You don't want me.
Daniel's a North Carolina guy, so and I am definitely not a Duke guy, but I had to.
Kristen Laettner is not a guy high up on my list.
Yeah. So
yes, that three-pointer against Kentucky. Didn't like it.
All right. Well, we'll leave Christian Laettner out of the podcast from here.
Let's leave Duke completely out.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, so you've got Julio. I've got Tony on that play. Okay. I think both of those plays were beautiful.
Absolutely.
And if one is better than the other, it's only by a fraction. Yeah.
So we always leave it back up to our Twitter family, Twitter Nation, to
let us know.
Let us know. Settle that score.
That's right. All right. So I've got for which is better. The next topic is a surprise. I don't even know.
You don't know what this is, right? You don't know.
Yeah, last week, you remember last week you kept putting me on the spot?
Yeah. I like to put you on the spot.
Got a little testy.
Yeah. It's good. It's good practice.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see what it is.
Yeah. So. Which is better, and I've got two job titles here that I'm going to share with you, and we're going to determine which is better. And Jay, there are job titles that you have. One of has been bestowed upon you because you earned it. You know, you're the digital content manager of the Atlanta Falcons and AtlantaFalcons.com, but you have a new job title that came about last week, and it's something you've been doing for a little while, so I'm glad you're finally getting some credit for this. Professional fashion consultant for the Falcons.
I'm totally amateur. Yeah. It's totally amateur.
So that's been added to your Twitter bio, so this of course this isn't official.
So this is which is better, which job title is
which
better?
Which is better.
I'll take my first one.
But why don't you tell everyone why you have this title of fashion consultant?
I get a lot of questions on Twitter,
right?
And I'm thankful for all of them, but some of them I've got to poke a little fun at to kind of keep myself sane.
Yes.
And so this one, out of everything that I answer on a weekly basis, there is nothing that I get more than questions about clothing, and specifically the Falcons uniforms. And it's always what color jersey we're wearing, And I've really tried to make sure that we spread the word and make sure people know so that I can kind of reduce the number of questions and thus give myself time to answer actual football questions, which I prefer to answer. So after answering all these questions so much, I would say if I was going to rank like as far as the number of questions that I get as far as topic goes, number one, definitely by a long shot is clothing. Number two is probably injuries. Number three is like random football related questions. So I decide, I'm like, finally, I'm just going to give myself the title of Falcons fashion consultant because I feel like I spend so much time talking about clothing.
So the real question is, which jersey are we wearing this week, Jay?
Red.
Nice.
Red.
Yeah, just
red. I think the first time we wear white is on the road against Arizona.
Oh, wow.
That's the first time our jersey color will change.
Some breaking news you're dropping right
now. I think. Well, no, it's on the website.
Yes, that's true.
We have a uniform schedule on the website.
That is true, too.
So if you want to know what we're wearing in week 14, you can find it on the website.
And why do people ask you this question?
Well, I get it. I get why people ask this question. It's superstition a lot. And I get that. I'm totally down with superstition.
Right.
I'm not a very superstitious person, but I respect other people's superstitions. Mm-hmm. So I think the superstition is that you have to wear the same color that the team is wearing.
Yeah.
And I'm totally cool with that. Totally get it. You know, it's just the volume of questions that I get about that is the contentious part of that whole process. But so that's why. And I understand it. Sports fans are superstitious, and I'm not. Are you superstitious about anything?
I can be. I have in general, I like to think that I'm not. But when I look at my behavior – I think I am,
right.
Especially like when it comes to like suits.
Okay,
suits at the games.
So we wear suits in the press box. We're all dressed up to our best.
We have a variety of suits that we like to wear. Last season, I wore the brown suit a lot.
You did wear the brown suit a lot.
And there was a reason for that because it works. It's basically the way I see it is, okay, well, this is what I was wearing on the day that these good things happened.
Right.
So I'm going to try to repeat that. I'm just going to, hey, why mess with that? So I wear the brown suit a lot. This season I wore the black suit, the brown suit, gray suit.
You need new suits.
I'm running out of suits because nothing's working.
What did you wear against St. Louis? Do you remember? Whatever it was, we got to find out, and that's what you got to wear.
That's what I'm going to wear. I'll think back. I had ways of remembering what I wore.
For me, it's popcorn.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably my only superstition. I have to have popcorn before the game, and probably once again in the first half, somewhere around there. But it's more about nerves for me. It's
right.
Less about superstition, way more about nerves. I get nervous. We're sitting here in front of a couple of cameras,
right,
and a couple
right.
of people back here, and I'm not nervous mm-hmm. in the slightest right now. But before I tweet a game, I get a little nervous.
I understand. For me, it's just like – it's just like the energy, like,
yeah.
I just want to get it going. Let's just get
and
started.
Chewing on something crunchy helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Yeah, I mean, we have a variety of things that we seem to do right. every single week.
And I'm trying to lay off the popcorn so much, you know, with all the carbohydrates
yeah.
and whatnot. But, you know, we got to stick with what works, right?
Yeah.
Or
so,
find
I mean,
new things that work.
You. I know that you also have coffee on game day.
Yes, lots of buckets.
So
buckets
sure,
of coffee.
Sure. Make sure that doesn't stop, please.
Yes, no, I won't. I know. I know you're looking out for my health when it comes to coffee. So, Daniel, you are kind of like a coffee pusher. I wonder if you get a little side change from Colombia.
That would be all right.
Yeah,
that's a good.
You should think about that.
Yeah,
should look into that.
Sponsorship, there.
Maybe.
I need to.
And not like any particular brand, just
yeah.
coffee.
Yeah,
just coffee sponsors
coffee.
You.
Yeah. Just like speak it. The good word about coffee, right?
That's right. The gospel of coffee. All right, so let's move on to our most valuable Falcon here. Last week, let's remind you of what our picks were. I had Julio Jones, who had 6 catches for 108 yards against the Patriots. Daniel went with Jaquizz Rodgers, 7 rushes, 32 yards, 6 catches, 56 yards. Neither one of them scored.
No.
But both were quite productive.
Mm. Yeah, but ultimately – they didn't score.
Right. But I think, and I'm going to use this against you, the deciding factor for me is that 49-yard catch that Julio made that was so clutch that you said.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
clutch.
You're right. You are quoting me there.
And so I think I'm the winner.
You know, I don't have a strong argument against that.
Okay.
So I can't. I concede that to you. So it's now
I won.
2-2.
2-2. We are knotted up at 2-2. So
that makes the Jets game all the more important.
Who's going to have the momentum going into
the bye week?
The bye week. And we're going to make our picks now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I'll go first.
All right.
Some winners away, so I'll go first.
Okay.
I go back to what we talked about earlier. A little bit with the number of turnovers, and this is how kind of I'll just go through my thought process here.
Okay,
who on defense has the most likely chance of causing a lot of turnovers? And of course, we've seen that with OC.
Right,
OC's you know forced a couple of turnovers
mm-hmm.
This year, but I was more looking from the side of who can really rattle the rookie quarterback. And so my first thought was Asante Samuel,
yeah.
because you know here's a veteran cornerback who can. Really kind of pick at your tendencies. And kind
he
of,
can manipulate some
yes,
quarterbacks.
Absolutely. And so I'm like going full steam ahead with Asante Samuel. But then, of course, this thigh injury is still nagging him, and who knows if he's going to play this weekend. He did not play against the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
his former team, which was a surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, I can't in good conscience go with a guy I don't know is going to play because then I'm going to be like, if he doesn't play – then I automatically lose.
Yes.
And then you could pick anyone
yeah,
who's active.
Yeah. Anyone that steps on the field.
Anyone who steps on the field for any play and still win. So I'm not going to do that. But I am going to go on the defensive side of the ball.
All right.
And I am going to go for the guy opposite Asante Samuel. And I know I've picked him already once this year, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Desmond Trufant again.
Okay.
I think you've seen a pretty good progression out of him. He's broken up some pretty crucial plays. He had an okay game against the Patriots, but I really think that – rookie against rookie here, you know, Desmond Trufant versus Geno Smith. I like Desmond's chances of forcing a couple of turnovers or making a couple of big plays. So I'm just going to kind of look at the I just looked at the tendencies and the stats and tried to predict what may happen in the future. And so that's kind of what I came up with. So I'm going with Desmond Trufant.
It's not a bad choice. I mean, if you think that, again, you look at those interceptions that he's thrown. There's a good
eight interceptions
there's
to
a
four
good
touchdowns.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
A turnover will get forced. And I know Coach Nolan is loving his opportunity for game plan this week. I know he likes to face those young rookie quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
All right.
I prepared a speech.
Oh, you have? Okay. Well, by all means, Mr. Chairman, go for it.
It's more like a letter.
An open letter?
Yeah, to my most valuable Falcon for this week.
Okay.
And I think it's going to make a difference.
Well, why don't you look right in that camera?
Okay, I'm going to try to read it.
Speak directly
to him.
This
is going to take... I don't know if I can do it and read at the same time.
I think you can.
Do you have any advice for me?
Don't weep.
I'm not going to weep.
Don't
that's
weep.
For sure.
You can shed a tear, but don't sob because that's very distracting.
All right. My most valuable Falcon for this week is Matt Ryan. Matt, you haven't been yourself lately, and that's okay. You've still been solid. From the 20s to the 20s, you're still the surgeon. But you know what's got to happen. You're still our quarterback, and this team goes as far as you go. And it's time to go. Matt. Matt is my most valuable Falcon for this week, and I feel good about that.
Do you? It was like a haiku. I'm going to prepare a haiku next week.
You should.
All right, I'm going to write that down. Most valuable Falcon.
Man, we've just come up with so many ideas. Like Frank's office raid. Stat of the week.
I can't even go anywhere after that. Like, you win based off of soliloquy this week. Oh, my God. Kudos to you for that, because that was amazing. But I am coming with a haiku next, or 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
2 weeks from now.
Absolutely.
So, well, there you have it. Matt Ryan versus Desmond Trufant here for our picks this week. We're on the bye week next week.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
You know, I don't know.
You know what it means to me.
What does it mean to you?
Especially, coming off of a Monday night game, it means two straight Sundays off.
Yeah. Which we get to watch football.
Yeah, which is like unheard of.
Yeah, I know. It's strange because I feel like if you're a fan of a certain team, of course you're focused on that one team.
Right.
But you're also like, oh, I'm really looking forward to this game or that game.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really do that. We like zoom focus, to borrow a phrase, zoom focus on one team. So it's kind of nice. The next 2 weeks to be able to watch what's going on in
absolutely.
The rest of the league.
Absolutely. Like, after the game, when we, except for last Sunday night, when I got home at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was at
something
like
that.
Three.
Yeah. If it's a regular 1 o'clock afternoon game, once we get home about 7, 8, or 9.
Sure. You can catch
up a little bit on what's going on for the day. Cause I can't keep up and I don't have, I need zoom, like you said, zoom focus. I can't bother with everything else.
Yeah.
You can't be bothered with all the other stuff that's going on. There's a Falcons game that we need to focus on.
Right, and you've got, open letters to our quarterback to write.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't want to interrupt that. But, we'll see if we'll be
if
back
this,
next
hey,
week.
You speak about superstitions.
Yeah.
If that works,
let's
I think
go.
We knew
well,
what
I I'm going to start a new one with haikus. Now I got to Google what a haiku is. So that'll come up next week.
All
so
right. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we'll see if we'll be back next week.
Yes.
Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
It's an enigma.
It's an enigma. It's like our red zone. enigma.
This podcast is like our red
this
zone.
This podcast is a riddle.
It needs
all right. So we'll see if we'll be back next week. We are off the rails as we normally do. We're very bad at saying goodbye. So that's what all that is. But we'll catch you possibly next week,
yep,
definitely
possibly.
In 2 weeks.
Definitely.
Here on the Falcon Cast podcast, thanks so much for joining us.